You're tapped in to an X-Men shortcast for the black queer perspective. 10 minutes of the unapologetic, the unfiltered, and the undeniable. Join me as I race the clock with old and new friends talking mutants, mess, meaning, and much, much more. This is Immortal X of Words.
No, I think they're just annoying. I don't even care that much. If I see blue contacts on a black person, I assume you're going to be the most irritating person that I've met that day.
Damn. Well, damn. That's wild. Is it be why? Let me ask why.
I don't want to infer tastes. I don't want to put motivations or animus in people's mind that might not be there. I'm just saying that every brown-skinned person I've ever met that was wearing contact colored lenses, I very quickly did not want to meet within five sentences.
But you know, correlation is not causation, Ash. So
true, but signs are signs.
But signs, you're like, listen, you get a high enough count, right?
Yeah. Like, if you're wearing a Confederate shirt, I got a good sense of what might be in it. Correlation is not causation, but you chose that.
So we gotta record this. I'm supposed to be the podcast host, like, right? I'm supposed to be interviewing you.
Oh, is really?
That was the.
Okay, all right. I like this.
The whole reason why I signed up, because you were like, I want to be a guest on the podcast, and I need someone to guest host on the podcast.
Yes. All right. Let's do it. Passenger Princess. Like, Passenger Princess.
Right. And I was like, I'll do it. Cause no one else responded. Everybody else was like, nigga, good luck. Like,
Yeah. You could have just said you responded.
Well, you listen, I love you. I love X of Words. I love the community you got. And so I just wanted to let you know that this is a act of love. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm taking, you know.
I should get you off the podcast right now.
Okay, that sounds good. Because
everything you just said was so dark-sided and backhanded.
Welcome to X Words. I'm your guest host today.
Fuck you. All right, yeah, carry on. Go on. All right, fine. I've moved over. I'm in the passenger seat. So, you know, since you got your fucking degree and you know every fucking thing, you do it, intro.
You do it. You handle it.
No, fuck you, Gone.
No, wait. No. I'm going to start it. No, I was just saying, you do it. You handle it. It's been a minute. Thank you all for joining us today. Wait, do you do anything? Don't you usually do like a clap or something to align your pod? Because you're going to be like editing this, right?
No, usually it's
like, what am I doing?
Huh? See? Oh, so you came in. Listen, your throat was long.
Oh my god.
And your mouth was greased. Your mouth was greased when you started to tell me about, oh, nobody else wanted to do it and I came to do it and this is an act of love. And now you're on the stage and what's happening? Freezing.
No, I just want to make sure I'm setting you up right. You know what I mean?
Like, ciao.
Oh my god. Anyway.
All right. Do your show, girl. Do your show.
Do my show. Okay.
Do your show, girl.
Hi. Welcome to X of Words. My name is Jordan Green. Today I will be known as American Ash, and we are on. And we're coming to you live from beautiful, sunny Seattle, Washington, in the USA. And I am going to be guest hosting. I was asked to guest host, almost begged, really, to guest host by our current guest today. So I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Ashley. And I'm Jordan's biggest hater. I'm the captain of the Fuck Jordan Club. Tuesdays and Thursdays. Great snacks. Yeah, glad to be here to listen to the lies and and deceit and tomfoolery that is going to happen over the next 10 minutes. Thank you for having me on this show.
It's an honor to host such an esteemed podcast that's very well respected in the world of X fans, and so I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much. I think it's great. It's a great opportunity for me as an American counterpart to Ashley. Hopefully the editors keep all this banter in, because I think it's fun. Also, I hope they cut it out, because I don't know what the hell is happening right now. But Ashley, yeah, we're having you on the podcast today because we're having you on the podcast today.
See, this is what we like to call in podcast waffle.
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 I love a waffle. I love a blueberry waffle. I love
Child, waffle. You are just saying shit. Like,
yeah. I don't know why you let me do this. I don't know. I said I would host the podcast and you were like, bet. And I was like, girl, I guess you want this level of chaos in your life. You must be bored.
Okay, so what's the question?
Anyway, so the question is, let me get to the question. Let me ask the question. The question for you.
Do you want
to
say question one more time?
Question for you, my esteemed guest, is has X-Men 97, and this is a beautiful, this is, let me just tell y'all something. Let me just stop doing what I'm doing as a podcast host to editorialize real quick. Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful question because it's very on point. It's very on brand. Has X-Men 97 lived up to the hype?
Mm-hmm. So what happens now?
Are you going to answer the question?
No timers? No.
No, I'm hosting the podcast. I don't have to, like, we all know that when you set your 10-minute timer, yeah, no one sticks to the 10-minute timer. Why?
Wow.
On my guest show, I just want to free us Negroes from the Western constraints of time, right? And let us be. You know what I'm saying? Let us exist.
Here you go. Okay. All right, we're doing this. Question. Does 97 live up to the hype?
I'm personally gonna yeah, set another timer.
Oh, that has
nothing
okay
to do with nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm just gonna keep an eye on the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Is it 97? Yeah, I think 97 does live up to the hype. I think it is, full disclosure, did I want a nostalgia show? Not really. Would I have been more interested in maybe like, I would have loved to see something new. I would have loved to see some other unexplored part of the huge amount of X-Men lore instead of us walking in this circle again.
Okay.
Because we read it once, we watched it once, and now we're watching it again. But I do think that this is the best way that you can do a nostalgia project. I think this is a very refined, very well thought out, very smart. I think it's just a nice, smart way to go back and twist it and change it in enough ways that it doesn't feel like a repetition. Right. What about you? What do you think?
Well, I think, thanks for asking. I think you make a lot of good points. When X-Men 97 was first announced, there were a lot of people who had some speculation online, who had some, there were some detractors, right? And I stayed cautiously optimistic. Marvel's TV shows have been hit or miss, right? And this is coming post Ms. Marvel and also post Secret Invasion. So we didn't know what we were going to get, right? Mm-hmm. And I think 97 has, I mean, we're recording this right after episode 5 has premiered. And so it, I think whoever did that work has put in the work to make a show for the fans, right? And that it's living up. I don't think there was any hype to live up to because people were just so cautiously optimistic about what it could be, right? And now we're at a point where people see like, oh, okay, this is good. This is a good show. Like I'm seeing all sorts of wild takes, but all the takes are like, this episode really cemented how good the show could be.
Yes. I think this is the best X-Men have been on a cartoon, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in fact, no, because you know what?
That's a bold statement.
I know, and I was going to walk it back.
I know. I heard you. I wanted to just interject real quick how bold that statement was to say that.
I'm such a hater. I am going to say that actually it's tricky to say that sort of thing because it's not really apples and apples. This isn't the same as an evolution or, you know, this hypothesized new project. This is actually just nostalgia. So they can move at 7,000 miles an hour because they're kind of not, they're assuming the intelligence or at least the knowledgeability of the audience.
Right.
You know, so that when when Maddie goes, I'm Madeline Pryor on the side of the road, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
And at the bus stop. She said, bye, G. No, Madeline Pryor. She just came up with that shit on the spot.
On the spot.
And,
right.
Yeah, but you know, they expect you to go, oh, I know that, you know. And so I think that this was a great condensation update cartoon. You know, how do you take something that take an existing property and sort of wring the best bits out of it while keeping it just fresh enough.
I think you bring up a good, and interesting point that, and then a lot of shows when they redo or reapproach, they're trying to bring in a new audience, right? Mm. And the idea is that you're going to be bringing in a new audience to this world. And so the raging fans, the people who are really excited and are going to support your show, are just going to have to take a back seat while we bring in these new people, right? And explain to them every little detail. And this show doesn't do that. This show is clearly written for fans by fans, right? And what's really, I think, you know, Denzel Washington has this really great quote around why Black writers and directors should be part of Black projects that have Black people as the subject of the film or medium that they're telling a story.
Right.
And they say it's about culture, right? It's about, like, Martin Scorsese could direct Schindler's List and Steven Spielberg.
What's the quote?
The quote is like, it's about culture. These people, I'm actually quoting him right now.
Oh,
it's like
okay.
Scorsese did a movie. I can't remember. Goodfellas. Martin Scorsese did Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg did Schindler's List. Now, Martin Scorsese could do Schindler's List and Steven Spielberg could do Goodfellas, but it wouldn't hit the same because there are all of these subtleties in the culture, right? That someone who's part of that culture can pick up and bring forward. And I think that no matter what, no matter how you interpret the X-Men allegory, it's about being a minority. And to have a showrunner at the time who is a lot of different kinds of minorities, queer, immigrant, Black, Brazilian, a lot of different kinds of minorities, writing a show about what it means to be in a world that hates and despises you. There were such beautiful moments within the show that he's been able to like lift up and bring forward. And I think that's really great. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Thank you. I think he's not the show. I'm very, very wary of making Bo the single author of mm-hmm. this show. I think like it's been a collective project of a lot of really talented people, from writers to animators. But yeah, I do agree that I think, you know, the team behind it has managed to inject enough modern ideas about mm-hmm. marginalized groups and how that should work and what the dynamic should be. So you've mm-hmm. got things like Magneto running the team and challenging the X-Men to think
right.
outside of this idea that you can save your way or serve your way out of oppression. You've got Scott telling reporters, listen, listen, you better be lucky we're not like you.
Right. Do you think, I mean, because the comics themselves, like the things that you're referencing happened in the comics, right? Like these sentiments that you're talking about. Yeah,
100%.
Right. Right. And so do you think that X-Men 97 or X-Men in the 97 cartoon mm-hmm. wouldn't have allowed this to come through in this day and age if social media wasn't a thing?
No.
Okay.
I think everybody having more of a voice means that the incidental amount of knowledge that we hear about other people has been blown through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
You're on TikTok, you're on Instagram, you're on Twitter. You can do that an hour a day and be exposed to 18 new thoughts from different people that you would have never spoken to in your life otherwise.
Right.
So I do think that sort of passive learning has made its way into the comic books, which then makes its way into the cartoons. And I also think the fear is a big part of it. It's not just about writers being exposed to new things that maybe they haven't been before. It's also the fact that 20 years ago, you could have dropped a brick on Storm's head and tell her, oh, she's just a cotton-picking ninny muggins, and have...
Wow, okay.
Listen, there was no channel to you for people to tell you about it. Whereas now I genuinely think fear might help us, because people go to do some bullshit and go, you know what? The Twitter niggas are going to be on my neck. And I think that's powerful. I think that's needed.
Am I hearing that you're saying that the fans are bullying creators a little bit? And that
rightfully so.
Rightfully so. You think that it's good to bully creators? Is that what I'm hearing right now?
This is a lazy trap. If you want to set up a trap, you probably need to be a little bit more subtle.
For preparing for this podcast mm-hmm. to guest host it, I started watching other podcasts. Not this one, mind you.
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, a lot of Rogan.
Chelsea Handler.
I don't know who that is. Who? What?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, what?
I don't know who. You said Chelsea Handler? Never was. But I did listen to a lot of like Queer Money and a couple of other podcasts to get prepared for this show. So
okay, how's that going? Do you feel like you've stuck it?
You have a lot when one is hosting a podcast. You have mm-hmm. a lot of different avenues that you can travel down, and your mm-hmm. job mm-hmm. as the host is to facilitate a dialogue. Right.
Yes.
And to glean out, you said some really brilliant things earlier, right? I think that you
fucking glean. I'm sick of it. Did you say glean?
Glean out. You know.
You don't have to glean. It's just to glean. There is anyway, carry on.
Not even sus. Just a cursory glance of the brilliance that you that the gym of the person who's on your show has, right? So that's the goal. I did want to ask you a little bit more about do you think that X-Men 97 is its own universe?
Yes. If the show does what I would love it to do, mm-hmm. it will be nostalgia for so much more than just that particular team. And I hope I hope it is its own universe, because we already have Roberto as a sort of POV character in the early episodes, which means at some point he's probably got to get landed with the New Mutants. We've already seen that magic is there and canon is there. And so hopefully, because, you know, there ain't that many more stories for them to run through, really. They're doing the big highlights. We did. And so I hope that in season two, we're with Bobby and a new team or a different set of mutants, and they keep us nostalgia baiting, but they nostalgia us far more broadly.
Yeah. What would you like if you could go into nostalgia land? What would you like to see come out?
Great question.
Thank you.
I would like to see like a Academy X thing. This show has been fucking good at action.
Mm-hmm.
This show has been good as hell at action.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Dust, I would love to see what they would do with Dust, with Tag, with Prodigy, with Hellion, with Icarus, with Surge even.
Yeah.
There are some power sets that I think are underserved by being on print.
Yes.
And I think a character that is super fast will always be better on in a cartoon.
Right, yeah.
In a cartoon, yeah. And this cartoon is very trippy, it's very dynamic, it's very well animated. And I think the Academy X kids had such a cool suite of like powers that I would love to see that brought into like a really good action centered, hyper fast program like this. Yeah. So that would be
You know, they did a little bit of a time jump when they came back with X-Men 97. Right.
So they
weren't exactly, they show that time has passed in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's possible that like the second season of X-Men 97 will do a similar time jump?
Ooh, I don't know. That would be interesting though. That would be interesting. I mean, who knows? Imagine if they came back and it was X-Men 98.
Right?
I don't know.
What would that look like for you?
I mean, 98 is a really incremental jump. But say if they jumped to like, I don't know, the 2000s or something, and every season was just meant to give you the nostalgia of the X-Men of that decade. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Wouldn't that, that's how you could really get to something like the Academy X story, right?
The agenda. I'm plotting, I'm working.
Yeah.
Where's my contract?
Well, they do need a new black queer immigrant showrunner, you know. So who knows?
Okay.
It could be any one of us, actually. You know.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. I know it's pretty late where you are.
Yep.
Once again, my name is Jordan Green or American Ashley, and
my name is British Ashley. My name is British, and this has been Immortal X of Words.
Thank you.